Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity, and today I'm presenting this sermon for April 30th of 2023. We're still in the resurrection or Easter season, and today's passage is 1 Peter 2, 19 to 25. At some point, I'm going to read that in the New American Standard Bible. We're going to talk about our topic today. Have communion later on, and it ended in benediction. So if you'd like to pause for a minute and gather your bread and wine or grape juice, now's a good time to do that. To begin, we're going to have a prayer together that kind of gets me anyway, centered in Christ, and we'll go from there. So, Heavenly Father, Jesus Spirit, we're grateful that you love us so much. Help us to see and know your love today in a powerful way, and to just understand how much you love us, that that's the whole point of all of this. And so we lay all this in your hands, ask Holy Spirit that only what you want said will be said, what you want done will be done, all through Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, as I was preparing this sermon, I had kind of one of those unique experiences, like every once in a while, where I really feel like the Spirit's speaking to my heart, and he's saying to me, you need to talk about sin, and I'm like, oh, no, please. There are other things, you know, most people today, let's just not even go into that discussion. We don't want to talk about sin. So, but that was how it came out. And so trying to be obedient to the Spirit and listen to what, you know, he's telling me to do. I wrote this sermon, He Bore Our Sins, because the passage today reminds us that this is why Jesus came. In fact, we need to remember how much God loves us. When we even mention the word sin, we go on this thing about either shame, guilt, and all kinds of other things. Self-justification being the main one, and anyway, that I come up with so often. But what we need to do is begin with who God is. And who is God? Is Father, Son, and Spirit is the God who loves the ones he created for life with himself. He loves you. He loves me. He loves every person on this earth. He loves us because he made us out of his overflowing love to be loved. He created us for love, to be loved, to share love with him. And we're talking about other-centered, self-giving love, the love between Father, Son, and Spirit. And the love we were created to participate in. And if you think about that and begin there, it gives a whole different perspective to the word sin and what we're going to talk about. And we're reminded too, the thing that kept coming back to me was, specifically, you can look at 2 Corinthians 5:21, where the Apostle Paul says, he made him, he's talking about Jesus, he made him who knew no sin, Jesus knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our right relationship with God is because of Christ, because of Jesus. And he was willing, as the sinless man, as God in human flesh, to take our sin on, take our sinful sarks, our flesh on, to transform, heal, purify, make it the way it needed to be so that we can live in right relationship, righteousness with God. And so it's interesting, Karl Barth specifically comes to mind, because he said that just the mere fact of Jesus dying on the cross means we're sinful people who need a savior. I mean, we need God's grace. I mean, it just the fact that he had to go do that to come for our salvation tells us that we needed it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. There was a point in what God was doing. And so it's important to remember that, you know, God had a reason for what he did in Christ. And it wasn't that he was trying to crush or hurt Christ. What he was doing was trying to bring us home, to bring us back to the relationship God always meant us to participate in. We were created for a face-to-face relationship with Father, Son, Spirit, the relationship they live in and God lives in as Father, Son, Spirit. Three persons in one being. There is this mutual indwelling, this where personhood that is one, that is equal, that is each is uniquely related to the other. And so we have this thing where we turn away from that. We turn to other things. And I'm not talking about specific sins, so to speak, right now. What I'm talking about is a denial of our personhood. What we were created, who we were created to be as those made in the image of God. This God who lives in other-centered, self-giving love and oneness. And we just miss the mark. Hamartia, I believe, is the word that is often used. We miss the mark. We miss the point. We miss being who we are. We turn away from our center in the triune God. We turn to ourselves. We turn to this earth. We turn to the creations of our own hands. We turn to one another. We turn to a lot of places, but we don't draw our life from where we were intended to draw, and that is in God himself. We make ourselves the center, and then the result is, unfortunately, death. And God told us that's how it would be. Darkness takes over when God always meant for us to live in the light. The light doesn't go anywhere, but we get to this place in our minds and our hearts and our lives where all we can see is the darkness. And we suffer because of that. I mean, suffering because of our choices. Now, what's interesting is the New Testament passage for today is in 1 Peter 2, 19 to 25. So let me take a minute and read this, and then we'll talk about it, okay? So Peter says this, "For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if you, when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." How interesting. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his footsteps. Follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in turn. He did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously." He remained in that face-to-face relationship with his Father and the Spirit, no matter what happened. "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." And we're talking about a healing that's more than physical. We're talking a healing of our emotions, our social life, our spiritual life. We're talking complete shalom, healing, peace kind of thing. "By his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." And you think about the, he pauses there for a minute and mentions sheep, and how my husband and I early on took, I mean, he raised sheep when he was young, but when we got married, we raised some sheep. And one of the things you can be sure of is they wander off. And you need them to not wander off, because if they wander off, that's when the coyotes get them. That's when they end up injured, hurt, or dead. And so you don't want the sheep to wander off. You want them to stay in the fold and be safe and healthy and be able to flourish and so on. And the thing is we as people made in the image of God for relationship with Him, when we wander off into our own ways of doing things, trying to act as though we're no longer dependent upon Him, even though we always are, we try to act like we're our own little self-sustaining gods. And when we do that, we end up in trouble. We end up having issues and suffering and difficulty. And when we suffer according to our own bad choices, bad decisions, whatever our rebellion, whatever it is, we really don't have any right to complain, is what Peter is saying. We're kind of just reaping what we're sowing. And I shouldn't laugh because, but I know this from my own personal experience. I'm certainly not going to point a finger at anybody, because I have been down the road myself and reaped some pretty heavy consequences for my choices. And a lot of times, I was reflecting on this the other day. I was trying to do the right thing, but I wasn't doing it the way God said to do it. I was doing what was right in my own eyes. I thought I was doing what God wanted. I thought I was doing the best I could do in this situation. And see, God doesn't blame us. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He knows that we need Him. We need His grace. We need His love. And so that's why Christ comes. That's why He came. That's why He gives us the Spirit. It's His relationship with the Father and the Spirit that we count on, not on our own getting it all right. Now, we want to hope that we would stop making our own choices, stop living our own, being our own little gods, trying to make our identity something other than it is in Christ. Christ has said our identity is in Him. He is the perfect image bearer of God, that in His humanity that we were meant to be. So, he offers that to us in the Spirit. We can live in the truth of who we are as God's children because of Christ. Now, truth be told, in this world in which we live, when we choose to follow Christ, that does not mean that all suffering will stop. If anything, our social culture right now says you're stupid for doing that. You are not, there are a lot of things that happen when people choose to follow Christ. There are some areas of the world where choosing to follow Christ becomes a death, a choice to die, because they're laying down their life, because it's against the law to follow Christ, to choose Christ. But if Christ comes and calls you, you want to follow where He leads and trust Him. Trust Him no matter the cost. He says, we lay down our life, pick up our cross, and follow Him wherever He leads, because He's God in human flesh. He's the Lord of all. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. So getting back to our topic, He bore our sins, and He took on our sin nature, our flesh, and He took it through death into resurrection and gave us new life. and offers us the Holy Spirit so we can begin now to participate in that right relationship with Father, Son, Spirit. Right now, we can talk with God. We can know His presence within us by the Spirit. He lives in us. We can hear the Spirit say to us, "You are Father's beloved child." We can have that right now. Now, would we rather suffer because of that or because we keep doing stupid stuff? I know, to me, it's just like, it's a choice I'd rather do. But the question is, do we want to live in our true identity as God's children, or do we want to suffer the consequences of sin and being not being able to live in that relationship with God we were created for? Not to live in the grace that is ours, the joy, the peace that God gives by His Spirit. Would we prefer the path that may end up in death and destruction? I think that Peter had something really important to say about suffering. We want to suffer for the right reasons, right? And if we do suffer, we know that we're not alone. God is in us and with us. Jesus is our shepherd, our guardian. He knows what's happening to us. He knows what's best for us. We need to trust Him and allow Him to watch over and help us and protect us and guide us, to read His word and to listen to what He has to say to us, to listen to His Spirit and be open to what God might be wanting us to change. And Jesus is so worthy of our trust. He has come to enter into our, leaving all the privileges of heaven to be with us in our human flesh, to experience everything that He experienced at our hands, rejection, hate, anger, all of these things, the abuse and the death by crucifixion, dying even as each one of us one day will die. So Jesus has more than earned, shall we say, in a sense, our trust. And I would like to say that He is worthy of our trust. He has shown us His Father. He has given us His Spirit. He helps us to know by the Spirit that we are God's beloved children, precious in His sight. And with that all being true, I just say, wouldn't it be better to turn from sin and turn to Jesus? To just give all that we are to Him and whatever He would like to do in our lives. And so we come to the communion table as an opportunity for us to think anew, to remember all that Jesus did, and to do so with gratitude. It's meant to be a table of joy and gratitude. We acknowledge that, yes, we're in need. We want to stay in that place of dependency upon God and trust and relying upon Him. But to do so with gratitude and thanksgiving and just praise on our lips for the goodness and mercy of God. And because He's not holding anything against us. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Forgiveness was on His lips, and that was over 2,000 years ago. And so why don't we receive that and live in that forgiveness and accept that? So we affirm again the essentials of our faith, that we died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in His glory now and forever. And so we receive the bread and the wine with gratitude. Join me in prayer for a moment, and then we'll go. We'll have this. Thank you, Jesus, for offering Yourself in our place on our behalf. We receive all that You have done and all that You've given. In Your name we pray. Amen. So we thank You, Jesus, for allowing Your body to be broken in our place, on our behalf. Thank You, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, for allowing your blood to be shed and pouring your life out for us. So now, may the shepherd and guardian of your souls, the one who judges righteously, may he give you patient endurance in all of your suffering, whatever it may be. And I ask God's blessing on you this week in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Join us again here at Our Life in the Trinity on YouTube. And see our blog page at lifeinthetrinity.blog. God bless you.